Unleash your inner happiness and strengthen your identity in Christ.
I'm Kelly Jean Pittman, and this is my amazing daughter, Jaina. We're a mom and daughter duo who unapologetically focus on living a Christ-centered life. Through biblical teachings and the latest research on brain health, we'll share solutions and inspiration.
From strengthening family relationships to overcoming daily emotional and spiritual battles, you'll grow spiritually and emotionally as you discover God's immense peace.
By putting God first, we'll help you to faithfully and unapologetically share the truth of Christ with those around you.
And if you want to learn more about our journey in following Christ and breaking free from anxious thoughts, check out my mom's book, Unleashing Happiness. It is now available on Amazon.
We're honored to share this time with you and pray that the Lord reveal His beauty in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, beautiful listeners.
Welcome back, guys. Okay, I know we say this every single episode, but I am genuinely so excited because we are doing a little bit of a deeper dive into the Bible, which, of course, all of our podcasts have Bible verses in them.
Biblically based, yes. Yeah.
But this time, we get to look at kind of one particular instance in the Bible, which is right. So fun.
With Easter coming up, which is the biggest and most important day of our lives.
Yeah.
Which is the death and, well, Easter celebrates the resurrection.
Yeah.
Of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord and King, and how we have eternal life with Him forever. I mean, nothing tops that, right?
No. And so we really want to talk into this, especially as we're going into Holy Week, but to look at the significance, because we're recording this on Palm Sunday,
and yes.
We want to look at the significance of Palm Sunday as we go into Holy Week to kind of start off and get our minds into the correct place and honestly marvel at how amazing God is.
Yes, really, that's ultimately what it is. How powerful, how great, how good our Lord is, that despite the confusing things that go down, distressing things, it's a really difficult week for me. It always has been, even as a child. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm going to start crying right now to see my Jesus, my Lord and Savior, crucified so brutally and have people greet Him so wildly on Sunday, and then within less than a week they're like, want Him dead.
Yeah,
it's like kind of shocking for me to go through this week, and it's very humbling that our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, came down to be human to go through all of this. It's like, so He can, I think, comfort us, because life is hard, right?
Yeah.
God knows that this Holy Week shows His awareness of that. But there's a lot of significance, and some that we just found out about Palm Sunday that we want to share with you, because we just think it's exciting. It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
What we have learned, and if you know it, that's awesome, but
yeah, you can still come along.
Yeah, you can still come along for the ride today and talk about Palm Sunday and the significance, but it is so cool.
Yeah, and so kind of to start off, because we're going to talk about prophecy, and the title of this is Palm Sunday Significance. It was predicted 500 years earlier.
It's like, whoa, that's
and
so cool.
It was prophesized in Zechariah, which we'll be reading, but then it also talks about this in Matthew. And to define prophecy, or prophesy, it's an inspired utterance of a prophet viewed as revelation of divine will, a prediction of the future made under divine inspiration, such an inspired message or prediction transmitted orally or in writing.
So this is pretty cool. We're talking about the Bible here and biblical scripture, and we're not talking about oracles or future tellers or anything like this.
No.
We're talking about the ultimate source information about life and who we are. That is the Bible. And so in the Bible, it has many prophecies that
so many
have been stated and come true. And according to J. Barton Payne's Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy, he says that there's 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament and 578 prophecies in the New Testament, for a total of 1,817 prophecies, which is amazing. And they encompass over 8,000 Bible verses.
Isn't that so cool?
Right, because it adds to me, it adds just that validation. It's like, people, like to view, well, it's just the Bible, it's just a story. It's not just a story. No. There's no book that's ever been written over such a long period of time and had so many authors that it has.
Yeah, and yet it be so meticulous and specific with its wording, especially when it comes to prophecy.
Yeah, and to have it proven. I mean, it's mm-hmm. proven fact that what was predicted has come true, and there's a beautiful one right here in Palm Sunday. And yeah. it just adds so much more significance to the beginning of this Holy Week. Yeah. So we want to go into this. And as we start, we're going to start reading with Matthew. And we're reading from chapter 21. And yeah. the title of that is Jesus's Triumphant Entry into Jerusalem. Yes.
I think it's super cool. And we're going to start in the New Testament because, I mean, it's just cool to start in the future and then go back and be like, whoa. So, Matthew 21, 1 through 5 says, Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt under her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.
Wow, and that just has a whole lot in it. Number one, this is written by Matthew, but Matthew is stating in Jesus' time that he's aware of the prophet and what the prophet said.
Yeah.
And so we can go to the prophet then, which was written 500 years earlier, and it's Zechariah, and we're reading chapter 9 and verse 9, mm-hmm. and it's the coming king of Zion is what it's titled.
Yeah, and Zion is a synonym for Jerusalem.
For God's chosen people, and it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, which is exactly what Matthew just said. Mm-hmm. It's like, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
I mean, like, looking at the wording, you can just see the comparison. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. And then in Zechariah, it says, behold, your king is coming to you. It's, like, so precise. How could anyone say that this, it's a coincidence, or the Bible is so old it has no relevance, when it's so incredibly meticulous about everything,
the details, right? Because okay, first of all, the king's coming, he's coming in on a donkey, on a beast of burden. It's like, what sense does that even make?
Yeah, I mean, if you just, you're now we're switching over to like the humility of Christ.
Yes, absolutely. It's like, It shows exactly, like, God knows who he is. Yeah. And he's talked about this king and this Lord and this Savior. And people had visions of grandeur, right?
Yeah.
With him coming. And Jesus came, like, so humble in a stable, not with all that grandness. And here, you know, he's entering into the city on a donkey, a beast of the burden, but he's riding it. So, like, he's the hero of burden. He takes away the burden. But it's tremendous to me, just all the significance and all these little details.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, just like you were saying, a donkey, really? Like, that is not a high up animal. And it just shows how humble God is. And how, I love that.
Yeah, and how he had this all planned, because Jesus told his disciples directly, go in the village. He told them exactly where to find this beast. And like, if anybody questions you, just say the Lord needs it. Mm-hmm. And they actually had to tell the people that they took the donkey from that. They're like, yeah. Why? Why do you want this?
It's like, the Lord needs it.
It's like, okay, take it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how amazing is that? How many times does God kind of send us into situations where we feel like we're unprepared and the Holy Spirit's telling you to do this, and it's like, I can't do this, or they're not going to listen to me. But you say the words and do what God's asking you to do, and poof.
It works.
Right, you get this unimaginable response. like, these people are receptive, or these people change, or these people do things for you that, like, okay, this is really unusual.
Yeah.
And so, and I think this is a perfect incident of this with the disciples, which they saw all the time, right? It's like, God, what are you telling me? This goes against all of society's standards. Mm-hmm. But yet, when they follow through, they see the beauty and the miracles and the peace and the joy that living as Christ has taught us to live
mm-hmm.
brings. And so at this point, they're not second-guessing Jesus at this point. It's like, okay, we'll get the donkey. What are we going to do with the donkey?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I actually came across this meme, and it was like God telling us that he has a plan for us. And then it was Michael Scott from The Office being like, well, I'm going to make it way more complicated. Uh-huh. And so it was funny because it's like God does have this plan for us. And then we often think that we know better, and then life becomes more complicated. But that's kind of a separate topic, but still.
But it still is. Like, you know, I could see you like saying, hey, okay, Jesus on a donkey? Jesus mm-hmm. is king. He's the King of Kings. He's our Savior. I'm going to get a horse. I'm going to go and try to get one of the chariots horse. I want to be grand. I want, you know, it's like I'd have big plans, make life so much more complicated. And it's not needed. I think that's how humble Jesus is from the very beginning. It's like us here in this world isn't about being grand and doing grand things and making us significant. He came in as a servant to serve others, to love one another. And I think this shows up again and again and again. And I think it shows up with the donkey.
Yeah.
And
like our job here on earth is not to glorify ourselves. It's to bring glory to God. And Jesus, obviously being very much in communication with the Father, this was what was going to glorify God the most. Right. And it shows his character of him being humble and him being just more than what we could ever imagine.
Absolutely. And I think it's a testament, too, of, like, their culture. This mm-hmm. went against their culture then.
Yep.
Kind of goes against our culture now. Mm-hmm. Our culture now is all about us. Me, 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 me. Take that selfie. Look beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, show off. Mm-hmm. Keep up with the Joneses. You know, you deserve this. You deserve that vacation. You deserve that whatever. You deserve that car. You mm-hmm. deserve those clothes. You deserve to, like, not have to cook dinner for your family because you're busy and you're working all day. I mean, I don't know. It can go off in so many ways where all of a sudden we're so far from serving one another that it's almost glorifying ourselves because we deserve it.
Yeah.
That's
not what Jesus taught and that's not what he showed.
No. And so why I think this donkey is so humbling just as he came in, like before, well, and then as he goes out, it only gets more humble as he is
beaten crucified.
Crucified and right. Humiliated in front of everyone. And mm-hmm. people were cheering. I mean, it just kind of reminds me of all the reality shows and different things and Hunger Games that people kind of glorify. It's like, I kind of see that. I guess it's been in humanity all along, just glorifying these public events that...
I guess, like, sin really hasn't changed. It just comes out in different ways and different people. It
keeps getting recycled mm-hmm. with every generation.
Yeah.
So, I love the human aspect of God and how he counters... always common culture, current culture. It's like he's not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's proven over and over again by the things that he says and the things that he does.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
But to just kind of, I mean, to speak into, I guess not speak into, but to really marvel at the whole story of Palm Sunday, we want to read it.
And yes.
So we're going to go over Matthew 21. 6 through 11. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, so that was getting the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on.
Amen. They knew.
How humbling is that? Like, just, like, their own cloaks and just,
it's their
just
worship
so beautiful.
And their praise, right?
Yeah. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Okay, just notice how it's their own clothes, it's trees. It's not like they're giving gold and jewels and expensive perfume to him, it's...
Well, but they're...
It's just... It's like they're giving their everything.
They're welcoming him, right? Yeah. And I think, as the pastor said in that day, that was common to, like, greet people, mm-hmm. to lay things down. Because everything was so dusty, dirty, and sandy walking.
Yeah.
To lay things on the ground, like, is a sense of honor.
Yeah.
That he shouldn't be walking in this dust. Mm-hmm. And getting all dirty. It's why you wash the feet, the washing of the feet. Mm-hmm. Like, on Holy Thursday is a very big thing. So that, so this is, you're right, very significant in the culture of greeting somebody that is very important to them. Like serving people, you know, it's like taking care of them, making the path for Jesus clear.
Verse 9 goes on to say, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hosanna in the highest in heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Wow, so they knew. They just knew, and they welcomed him finally.
Finally.
Finally, for a short period.
Yeah.
Until all the head honchos.
Until the...
All of the political people.
Until the dang religious and political leaders. Some dang Pharisees and Sadducees that go crucify Jesus. But... Yeah, I mean, it's, I just love it. It's like these ultimate praise and ultimate, like, joy to worship Jesus and to...
That he did have his day.
Yeah.
Of celebration here on earth. And it comes and goes very quickly.
Yeah.
It's fleeting. Like you had mentioned earlier, when we're practicing that cancel culture. It's like, this is a great example of cancel culture. Actually, kill culture, pretty much. Like, Hosanna in the highest. You know, we bow down and worship you. A couple days later, oh, we'll crucify you because that's where what's everyone's telling us to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, how easy is it to be, like, swayed in this world? It's so easy.
It is, and I think it's common. I think with screens and the different messaging that we can fall out of truth when we're not grounded in the Word, and that I can see people when they go from one shift of group of people to another, all of a sudden their opinions and everything are changing, and they just kind of camouflage with the group. Yeah. And that's not uncommon.
And it's interesting, like, I've been reading a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, or in the first five books of the Bible, because I'm taking a class. And all the instruction, all of the things that God told Israel to do, which, you know, seemed kind of crazy at the time and seems crazy now because there's so many rules and expectation. But everything that God told them was for a reason. It was to set them apart. And so and as Christians, like, we should be set apart. We shouldn't be swayed by, oh, it's cool to worship God, or it's not cool to worship God. Everything we do as Christ followers should be glorifying God, no matter what the current culture is saying about our worship.
And it gets a little bit tricky, I think, because at times we can think we are, but we're stuck in kind of main culture, and it's pretty easy to kind of start going off God's path and following what everybody else is doing, because it's so commonplace. That's why it's critical to have everything biblically based and to understand it. Because throughout time, that's why religion can get such a bad name. Because people have used it to do very bad things.
Yeah.
They've been human. They've sinned. And it's like, it's not Bible. If it's not following in line with Jesus' teachings, then it's not of God. Or you're not following God. It's a good predictor of how to do that.
Well, I heard this thing one time. It was like, if you took away your cross necklaces and removed the Bible verse from your bio, would people know you're a follower of Jesus? I was like, wow, that was really convicting. Because people are not going to know you're a Christian. Or I would hope that people know that you're a Christian by your actions and your love, not by the symbolism that you say, or, you know, because actions speak louder than words.
That's pretty powerful.
I don't know how we even got there, but...
Yeah, and another point to bring up just with Palm Sunday before we close out with this Holy Week is that, again, when we were talking about this earlier, I like what you had said, it's a good reminder with this prophecy in this scripture. Jesus is being worshipped, the King of Kings, finally getting kind of people recognizing who he is, right? Which is great and wonderful. But as the week went down, God wasn't up there saying, oh, crap, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, like,
this is all falling apart on me. I didn't have this planned. That's not true. And that's what these prophecies
Yeah, it shows how signify. Detailed God is. Like, there's no way it's coincidence.
It's like, it's not like, right, he didn't know what was going to go down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's exactly why he brought him in on the donkey, exactly why he did everything precisely, you know, on these days. He knew what was coming. It's like Jesus knew what was coming.
Yeah, I mean, he predicts his death 3 times. And his disciples are still like, huh, what's going to happen? No, because that's not going to happen.
He's God.
And right? He rebukes Peter, but yeah.
It's like everlasting life. That's what you're talking about. So how can you be killed in front of our presence?
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise. So if you're stuck in something right now, sometimes life gets pretty difficult, pretty challenging, and it looks pretty ugly. And sometimes, honestly, it feels like, hey, God, I think you've forgotten about me. I'm hurting. I'm suffering. My family's really struggling. It's really hard. It's like, God knows he's there. Mm-hmm. Keep talking to him. Keep praying to him. Keep telling him what you need. Because he knows.
He can make a plan.
Yep. All things come together for good. And he's got the big grand picture of things. So sometimes we don't see the big picture and how grand it will be later and down the line. So it can get hard in these difficult moments. But even Jesus was sweating.
He was sweating blood.
Sweating blood.
Which is not normal.
No. But it's under duress. Big duress. But Jesus, he knew what was coming. And so he's human. No human wants to suffer.
Yeah.
And I think that is incredible that God brought Jesus down to be human, to suffer, to show us that, hey, I know life is hard, but resurrection, everlasting life, is yours. Peace, one with me. It's like that's what we all want.
Yeah.
That's why we worship him. That's why we're one with him. I think it's the only way this whole crazy world makes sense.
Honestly, yes.
Yes. We're here for the experience. But we're really one with God, and our spirit remains with him. So ultimately, we can't be hurt when we're one with him.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew that. But in this physical world, there is pain.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to see in this coming week. But for Palm Sunday, it's kind of a day
of celebration.
A celebration to reflect and praise our King, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. I think that was really, really good. I mean, there's so much unknown. There is suffering in the world. But like you said, like for me and for a lot of, for every Christian, well, I can't speak for every Christian, but for a lot of Christians, like that's our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm really starting to understand that, like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that, like, Jesus, he's everything. Right. I can stand on him no matter what I'm going through.
Right, it's why
And I can look to him as my hope because he suffered and he was raised in glory. And if we believe in him, we might suffer, but we're also going to be raised in glory.
So, like James says in the Bible, celebrate your trials and tribulations because they only increase your faith and bring you closer to Jesus. Yeah. So they're a gift and should be celebrated. Which is hard to see, but Jesus is King. He saves.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close this out in prayer. So please join me in prayer.
Yes.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for showing us and revealing to us how magnificent and how detailed and how glorious you are. Lord, as we enter into Holy Week, would you be the only thing on our minds? Lord, would we be able to reflect on the gift of who you are and the gift of what you've given, and that we would not overlook it or think of this grace as cheap, but it's a costly grace. And so as we move through this week, Lord, would we just reflect on who you are and truly what this week means instead of, oh, bunnies and spring and
chocolate.
Whatnot. Lord, would we look at this week and see it as truly holy and keep it sacred. Lord, would you be with us?
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you for that. Yes, so as we head into this holy week, may Jesus take center stage of all your thoughts, mm-hmm. actions, and words, and may we praise him humbly and give him all our gratitude as we know that his sacrifice is the greatest sacrifice, and we are called to be one with him. Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. In faith and love,
Jaina
and Kelly.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you are looking for more daily inspiration, go follow us on Instagram. We created an Instagram page and it's called faithfully_apologetic. So go there and give us a follow and a like and comment.
And you'll find inspiration, words of wisdom, and we're sharing God's love and word.
In faith and love.
Kelly.
And Jaina. Bye.